John chapter 2 and verse 1. This is Jesus' first miracle that he performed on the earth while he was here. And it says in John chapter 2 that on the third day there was a wedding in Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. She was a wedding guest. Now both Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, because of the celebration, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They don't have any wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me?" In other words, she came to Jesus and said, "They don't have any wine." And Jesus said, "So? So what? What does that have to do with me?" "So they don't have any wine." So he said, "Well, I'm sorry, but I don't know what that has to do with me." Then he said, "Mom, my hour is not yet come." And his mother turned around and said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." That sound like mama? Amen? Just do what he tells you to do. Why did she say that? Because he's about to do something. Because it's the heart of God to do something. You need to see this, because this is the lesson of this miracle. And his mother knew it. It's the heart of God to not turn away. It's the heart of God to not turn you down. Oh, it's the heart of God to say yes. Amen? So just do what he tells you to do. And there were 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. And when the master of the feast tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom over. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And when the guests have well drunk and they're full, and their taste buds are not as sharp as they were at the beginning," says, "then they bring out the inferior," they bring out the lesser wine, because they really can't tell the difference. "But you've kept the good wine until now. This stuff is excellent. This is amazing. Never tasted anything like it." This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. And with this, are you ready? Because this is the line that just leaped out at him. This is the beginning of signs that Jesus did in Galilee. And with this, he showed his glory. Oh, my goodness. And with this miracle of turning the water into wine, he showed his glory. I want you to ponder that. I could just stop this message and say, go home and dig that out. And with this great miracle, he showed his glory, and the disciples, they bought in. Right? I mean, at this point, they're like, we are all in. Extravagant glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word today. God, it's your word. It's not my word. Lord, I'm like that water pot, Lord, we just read about. I'm just a vessel, Lord, that I want you to fill up. And I want to overflow with your glory. And we want your glory to flow upon all of us today. So I ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch us. In Jesus' name, amen. So Mary comes to Jesus, and his response are, why are you involving me in this? So what does that have to do with me? Now, Jesus is not being rude. because that's not his heart, and he loves his mother. And I think there's just that look on his face. You remember the Syrophoenician woman that came to Jesus? And Jesus looked right at that woman because the disciples were looking at, there was this whole racial thing going because she was a Gentile woman. And so Jesus was like, you know, the disciples were looking at her, telling her to go away. She shouldn't be bothering him. And so Jesus, I believe when he said this line, I believe he was looking right at his disciples because I think he was trying to teach them a lesson. And he said to the woman, and I think maybe looking at his disciples, you know, what I have is not for the dogs. And the disciples, when they heard that, because they had some racial issues and cultural issues, when they heard that, their thought was, yeah, that's right, Jesus, you tell her. You tell her, man, we are the children of God. We're the children of the covenant. We don't give what we have to the dogs. Good for you, Jesus. Right on, Jesus. That's what he said, but his face to the woman was saying, come on. Why? Because he's a yes God. Come on, church. He's a yes God. And everything in his face was saying, don't quit on me now. You have been following me around. You've been bugging me. You've been asking for your miracle. Don't you quit on me now. And his eyes are screaming, come on, come on, come on. And then she says it. And she says, well, yes, but even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. Oh, what a line. And you know, Jesus' heart leapt within him and he gave her what she wanted. But that look, and I think this is kind of the same thing he's doing with Mary. He's telling her, you know, it's not really my time. It's not really in my purpose. And I have other things, but I didn't. And I have a mission, just like with this Syrophoenician woman. His mission was what? First to the Jews. And then others would go to the Gentiles. However, she interfered. She butted in. And it's not in the heart of God to say no. Jesus had another agenda. But his mom comes in and says, we need to do this. And I want to tell you something. God is a spontaneous God. He does things sometimes very spontaneously. And so while he says, you know what? Mom, why are you bothering me with this? It's not. And then it's just that, you know, he gave her that look that said, okay. Okay. And so she turns around and says, do what he says to. Because it's the heart of God to say yes. So he told them, take these jars. There were six of them. He said, fill them up. 20 to 30 gallon stone jars. Folks, that's 180 gallons. Hello? There's about to be a party. That's 180 gallons. To put that another way, that's 908 bottles of wine. Do you hear me? That's 908 bottles of wine. Why so much? Because he's an extravagant God. The Bible says that the meal wasted not and the oil did not run dry. He told the woman, go and gather the pots, and he filled up all that she gathered. Folks, that woman could have gone in the oil business if she'd have just kept gathering pots. Amen? Why? Because he's an extravagant God. His glory is extravagant. When God does something, and it says, with this he showed his glory. And I want to show you what he's talking about there. What is the glory of God? Try to define the glory of God. It's hard to do. It's hard to define the glory of God. Is this mic still on? Mike, define for me a basketball. How would you describe it? Take that mic, describe a basketball.
It's made out of leather. It's leather. Round. It's full of air.
Full of air.
Bounces.
Right.
You can spin it real easy.
Yeah.
is.
That's a pretty good definition. So listening to that, you would have some idea of what a basketball was. It's round, 9-10 inches, made of leather, rubber, fill it with air, and it bounces. Can you describe an orange? It's orange in color. It's round.
It's sweet.
It's sweet. It's something you can eat. It's got a covering or peel on it. Yeah. It's a skin.
Yeah.
And then once you get inside, you're not helping me a lot. Can you describe an apple?
They can be red or green, lots of different colors. You can eat them. They have seeds in them. They have a stem, a brown stem. They grow on trees.
Very good.
They make good pies.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Trent, can you define for me, just the way they describe, the glory of God? No. And you know what? I think most all of you here would have said the same thing Trent did, and I kind of set Trent up. Because, quite honestly, we can't define the glory of God. It's hard to define. It's hard to describe. It's something that's hard. This whole point of this message, it's hard to get your hands around the glory. It's something that's hard to understand. But here's what God did. God came to the children of Israel. They journeyed 47 days. And they came to the foot of the mountain. And God came to Moses. He said, Moses, tell the people to start getting themselves ready, because in 3 days I'm going to show up. They got 3 days, and then I'm coming. Tell them to separate themselves from their wives, because I want them focused on me. This is all about getting yourself ready, because on the third day I'm going to show up. Now 47 and 3 is what? 50. So God showed up on the 50th day. That's what Pentecost is. It's the 50th day. This was a type and shadow of Pentecost. So on the 50th day, they got up on that morning, and the Bible says there was a loud, loud. It was so loud, it shook everything. And people started, what in the world? And then they looked and they saw clouds beginning to swirl around the top of Sinai. And coming out of the clouds was lightning and thunder. And they heard voices of shouting and praise. They heard voices roaring out of the cloud. And then the Bible says the thundering started and the ground began to shake. And the people were frightened. And God was basically saying, why don't you guys come up here and see my glory? And experience me. And the people went to Moses. And you read about this in Deuteronomy chapter 5. After you get through with Exodus. The people went to Moses and said, we changed our minds. We don't want any part of that mountain. We're not going up there. You go up there and you talk to God. And whatever he tells you, we will do. And they choked. How many of us have choked on the verge of revival? How many of us have choked on the verge of the glory? Because we're scared of it. We don't understand it. We're like... And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses is telling God what happened. And he's basically telling him, the people kind of froze up. And then God says, Moses. And I love this. He said, Moses, you know what? The people were right. I didn't think about my extravagant glory. I showed up. When I go somewhere, that's just how I roll. When I come with clouds and thunders and rainbows and lightnings. That's just who I am. And he says, Moses, I understand that. But then that's when this happened. Moses, I want you to build me a tabernacle. And I'm going to come down inside of that tabernacle. And I'm going to come down into a form in which people can understand and meet with me and touch me and encounter me. That tabernacle represents the ultimate tabernacle, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Folks, when Jesus came to the earth, in that awesome display, when Jesus came to the earth, he was bringing with him the glory of God. And the glory of God abided, and it was an opportunity for us to see the glory of God. It was an opportunity for us to touch the glory of God. It was an opportunity for us to experience the glory of God. Because the other way, Moses said, "Show me your glory." And God said, "Moses, what you're asking for, I cannot do. You can't stand there in the flesh and experience all of my glory." That's why sometimes in church you see people shake. That's why sometimes in church you see people weep. That's why sometimes in church you see people bent over. That's why sometimes in church you see people with an expression of awe on their face. What's happening? They're encountering the glory. And when flesh and glory meet, something happens. Amen? God starts changing you. There's an encounter. And when people encountered Jesus, when they came in touch with Jesus, things changed. He turns all that water into wine and thus shows his glory. What does he show me about his glory? The first thing he showed me about his glory is that he is generous. He didn't tell his mom, "Okay, all right, mom, just a little miracle." Right? Just this one time, but it's going to be small. That's not how God operates. Somebody say amen. He's not only a yes God, he's a generous God. He's a big God. And when God does things, it overflows. Amen? It abounds. It's abundant. God's not cheap when it comes to showing his glory. God is generous. He's a God of abundance. He's a God of overflowing. He said, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." That he's come to give you abundant life. What life? His life. I tell people all the time, God don't want your life. You know, I'll have people come to me and say, "I want to give God my life." And I like to tell them, God don't want your life. Your life's a mess. You know, God don't need your life. What you need is his life. Amen? He'll pour his life into you. And then he'll change your life. Amen? "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." He's an abundant God. The Bible says where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Amen? There's a lot more grace than there is sin. Hallelujah. The Bible says he has blessed you with all spiritual blessings. Say, "I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings." The Bible says he will meet all of your needs according to his riches in glory. He didn't say he'd meet all of your needs according to your bank account. He didn't say, "I'll meet all of your needs according to Brother Glenn's bank account," and you'd be in trouble if he said that. But here's what he says: "I will meet all of your needs according to my riches in glory." Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. He is an abundant God. He is a generous God. He has made us more than conquerors. Not just conquerors. He has made us more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Church, you start to see who you are in the kingdom of God. Oh, with this, he showed his glory. He poured out on them abundantly. He said, listen to what he said, "Try me and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out more than you can receive." Amen. Hallelujah. It's because he's generous. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's what his word says. The Bible says his judgments are unsearchable and his paths beyond tracing out. And he speaks of the unsearchable riches of Christ. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. He's an abundant, generous God. Paul talks about the incomparable riches of his grace. He is able to do immeasurably more than we are able to ask or imagine according to the power that worketh where? In us. The power that is working within us. Because How does that work? Listen to this verse. And Jesus said, and the glory that thou gavest me, that the word became flesh and we beheld his glory. The glory that thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one with you even as we are one. The glory that you have given me, I have given them. I have poured out on. How many of you want God to pour his glory out on? Amen. The Bible says when the disciples caught the 153 fish in John chapter 21, the Bible says they were large fish. It wasn't 153 little brim. Amen. But they were big fish. He's a big God. He's a generous God. And he's generous with his glory. When he fed the 5,000. Oh, what a miracle. But it shows the abundance of God. It shows the abundance of God. They came to the disciples and said, the disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, there's 5,000 people here and women and children. They're hungry. And Jesus said, well, then feed them. Feed them, church. And they went, it ain't happening. It just, we checked our bank account and we can't feed them. And then Andrew, standing over to the side, said, hey, there's a little boy here with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Oh, he's an abundant God. He's a generous God. He's an awesome God. And Andrew felt it. Something rose up inside of him. He got caught up in the moment. He knew. And I can see Peter, his brother, standing over there going, oh, God. 5 loaves of bread and 2. Are you kidding me? Seriously? Really? Would you just shut up? And I know something happened because the right after Andrew said it, he said, but what is that among so many? Forgive me, Lord, for saying so. And Jesus was like, no, you're not. You're not going back on me. Bring me that. Andrew, you were right to begin with. Shut up, Peter. Get out. Hush. Come here, Andrew. You were right. Bring it to me. And when he got through, there were 12 basketfuls left over. He's a big God. He's a generous God. He's an awesome God. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, I remember a quote from the great preacher. I loved his preaching, C.M. Ward. And he said, I've had to pray that God would shut off the fountains of heaven, lest I die of these ecstasies. And sometimes the glory of God is so poured out in measure that you're like, God, I can't hardly take any more. Amen? Amen? I've seen people around altars who couldn't hardly get up. The weight of God's glory was so strong, and we stagger around like drunk men. Hallelujah. These men are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel in the last days. I will pour out of my spirit, and I will pour out on young men and old men and on everybody and to all generations. And this is the fulfillment of that. Hallelujah. Your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit. Oh, he's a generous God who wants to show his glory. And lastly, he is tireless and relentless in showing his glory. Folks, there's no quit in God. There's no quit. Sometimes we feel like quitting. Sometimes we get tired. But there's no quit in God. I'm going to tell you something about Jesus. Jesus was not a hippie dancing around on the earth in fields of flower with a flower in his ear, in his hair, you know, and singing Tiptoe Through the Tulips. That's not who he was. We get this picture of sweet Jesus, precious Jesus. It's just Jesus. Oh, sweet Jesus. And we've turned him into some kind of, you know, and that's not it. Folks, when Jesus came to this planet, he was on a mission. When Jesus came to this planet, he was not on vacation. When Jesus came to this planet, he meant business. And the devil started hunting him, but Jesus became the hunter. And he turned it around and he went after the devil and he had a purpose. Give the Lord the praise. You ask Peter when he said, when he turned around on Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Tell me Jesus wasn't on a mission. You tell me there was fire in his eyes. You tell me this man didn't have a purpose. The Bible says his face was set like a flint as he made his way to the cross. You tell me this was some sweet, gentle hippie when he was turning over tables in the temple and took a whip and started driving people out. This man was on a mission. You say, "Well, what was he so stirred up about?" He was fighting hell. That's what he was stirred out about. But he came and he died on a cross and he washed away the sins of humanity because of the power of the blood. Oh, he deserves our glory. He is a tireless, relentless Savior. He left the 99 in search of the one. This one don't quit. Most of us would have said, "Well, we got 99 of 100, 99%. That's pretty good." But Jesus said, "I'm not happy with 99%. I want 100%. I want them all." And the Bible says he searched until he found him. He didn't quit. He kept looking. He kept looking. He kept looking. I tell people all the time, you might as well go ahead and give up and surrender to Jesus because he's coming after you and he won't quit till he's got you. Amen. You can't run from God. I tried. Hallelujah. I ran all the way to California one time thinking God wasn't in California. But he was. The hunter, the hunted became the hunter. And he hunted the sick. And he hunted the lost. And he hunted the oppressed. And he hunted the brokenhearted. And he hunted the crushed. And he hunted the wounded. And he hunted the addicted. And he hunted the bound. And he hunted until he found them. Until he found them and he went to that cross and shed his precious blood. It says when evening had come, this is the tireless, relentless Jesus. When many had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. When Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude and he was moved with compassion for them and he healed all their sick. Matthew 19 says, great multitudes followed him and he healed them all there. Whew. Matthew 21 says, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them all. Ooh. Matthew 12 says, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from that place. But great multitudes followed him anyway. And he healed them all. Tired, withdrew, they hunted him down. But he healed them all anyway. There's no quit. Oh, church, this is, our musicians come back. This is extravagant glory. This is extravagant glory being poured out from the heart of God onto us all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He's a yes God. He's a generous God. He's a persistent God. There may be some of you here today, you've come and you've got needs in your life that you need to touch the glory. You need to touch the glory. I want us to all stand.